Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Now, I, off the jump, Rob, have to apologize to you, to the people listening to this at home or in their cars or planes, any other mode of transport, about last week's show. So last week, we always intended on recording on the Wednesday after all the Champions League matches to talk about who had played too much. Turned out not many players played too much. Most of them ended up playing at the weekend, the Champions League players. But that Wednesday, Tottenham Hotspur beat the Spanish club Real Madrid in the Champions League. And in my gusto, yelled and chanted so much that I did not have a voice to do the show. So I fully come clean on that. That is all my fault. If you were like, where's our fantasy advice? And then you had a horrible weekend, that's on me. Feel free to make voodoo dolls, throw like darts at it or pins or whatever. That's my bad. So Rob, as the voice of the people, I would like to apologize to you as well for my crimes.
You don't ever have to apologize to me, Kev, because we're friends. Friends don't apologize for simple stuff like this. But you ruined Christmas is basically what you're did. Trying to admit. You ruined Christmas! And for a lot of people, that's the belief that Fantasy Premier League is the end-all, be-all. But for right now, it is, because that's what we're here to talk about, and that's why you're here to listen.
Right, that's basically our job. Yeah, to talk to you about fantasy, and then I didn't. So that's my bad, and props to Rob for sneaking in this recording before he jet sets off to an undisclosed city, because I don't want to mention it in case people show up and they like flock to you, like when the Beatles came to America and stuff.
I'm going to have to sign too many autographs down in Nash, Vegas. You know.
Oh, now you said where it is.
Oh, my God, I ruined it.
Now you're going to get all the fantasy pod groupies.
Oh no. That's all right. But yeah, I am heading off to Nash, Vegas, if anybody's familiar. Yeah, good. You should go there. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. If anybody that listens to this is in Nashville, hit us up. See ya.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Why not? We'll meet up for a beer, and it'll be on your dime. It'll be on you, of course.
Fantasy advice for beer is always a fun trade. Apologies now out of the way. There have been developments in FPL since we last spoke to the folks at home. And that is Manchester City have continued to be ridiculous, but specifically Leroy Sané has just been absolutely insane. What is it now? 5 goals, 4 assists in his last 5 matches, if memory serves.
Yeah,
it's just absolutely bonkers what he's been doing. And, it's 3 goals, 3 assists in the last 5. And then if you go back to 6, there's another goal and 2 assists. Only 2 blanks since he started starting. So here's a big question for you. Because a lot of people owned David Silva because he was basically getting assists every week at the start of the season, right? So that made sense. He's still been doing fairly well. He still chips in with assists every now and again. He had the goal a few weeks back. But with the development of Sané, we mentioned weeks ago that Kevin De Bruyne's creation stats were starting to surpass David Silva's. Now they've wholly surpassed them. If you have David Silva, are you willing to just hold on to him for now? Or would you rather move off him? And if you were to move off him, would you do so to another City player?
Well, the funny thing about David Silva is that he's just been passed by Leroy Sané in total percentage owned. Sané is now owned in 24.7. Silva is in the 22s. So from that standpoint, it's interesting to think about that. The returns of David Silva, yes, they've been, you know, they haven't been mercurial like Leroy in Sané in the membrane have been, but
in Sané in the membrane.
Yeah, but they've been ample. So yes, you're getting returns. decent returns. You know, Silva has 61 points on the year, Sané 73. So from that standpoint, Sané is outscoring him by 12 points over, you know, and this is the coming up will be game week 12. So if you can do the math, that's basically it's 1 point a week.
Yeah.
You know, so the point I want to stress on here is if one of the players, Sané, De Bruyne, or Davids, were an ownership differential, which they're really not. Kevin De Bruyne is owned in 20%, which is still less than David Silva. But there's price tags involved in this. You can't just go by, you know, ownership. You know, De Bruyne is at 10.1, Sané 8.9, Silva 8.5, and Sterling has to get thrown in this year. He's 8.2. But the time to pivot off of him is all predicary off of what your roster is. Yes, his price tag is middle of the road. It's less than Sané. So if you're not a Sané owner right now, you're probably buying it at a higher price than, you know, than what Silva is because he's priced higher. So if you bought into Sané weeks and weeks and weeks ago when he was probably about the same as David Silva, then that makes more sense than to just pivot off of him because you're not losing that much with the transfer rate because you only lose 0.2 at a max there. So basically the whole thing I'm looking at here is if you're going to switch off of, you know, David Silva because you're not happy with his returns, which he's still giving but just not in the abundance that others are, just I would say look for differentials, but there isn't any anymore with the City players. And kind of with Sané's returns, you kind of have to right now. I wouldn't be shy to do it myself. I am a Silva owner, and I don't own Sané. So, I mean, from that standpoint, yeah, I'm looking clearly at Leroy Sané and hoping that, you know, the rotation schedule and the Champions League games that are up forthcoming, hopefully he clears the international break clean and healthy. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, there's nothing about the differentials anymore with the City midfielders. And usually that is the case when I'm talking about ownership, especially when, you know, someone's not doing well, but someone else on the team is doing well. So there's no differential there. But since there isn't, you basically have to go for the accumulation of points, and Sané is just the meat and potatoes there right now.
Mm. Yeah, definitely agree that Sané's been doing much better. Also, do have Silva. I'm honestly thinking about shifting down to avoid this price change. We'll talk about that in a little bit. maybe down to somebody like Richarlison, who I've yet to bring in, and then just hold on to that money, and then see if I want to upgrade my forward or re-upgrade there. But it's a tough one right now. Over the last five matches, guess where Silva is in chances created?
51st.
that's drastic. 33. But all of the other City players we're talking about have more. And for somebody that's supposed to be a creator is not really a goal threat. That's definitely a concern. While we're on this topic, because I don't know if people will remember this far back, but the first international break, I wild carded and brought in the five players with the most chances created at that point in the season. The only other remnant from that midfield for me is Christian Eriksen, who is only 30th in chances created over the last five. So a little bit of the shifting of the tides there for those creative players.
And it's funny now because when you look at Spurs and their Spurs upcoming schedule, Kevin, you're being the Spurs, you know, cosmonaut here. You know, they have Arsenal, West Brom, Leicester, Watford, their next four. Mm-hmm. With Dele Alli sitting out the last week, with the international break now up, Eriksen is going to be clearly, you know, probably going to be playing in some. You know, Alli and Eriksen, Kane are they're not on the English team, so that's probably a good thing. But are you trusting a Spurs midfielder going forward? You know, with Eriksen's price tag being what it is, with Ali's price tag what it is, comparatively to what it is across the midfield FPL universe?
If I had Alli, I'd probably be comfy sitting still just because he seems to be rounding into form finally after a pretty slow start to the season. Eriksen is a little more concerning. He true to form for Eriksen, has already had his high point this season with the start he had. Then he kind of hit a rough patch form-wise. Neither of those were too heinously reflected in fantasy because he's only gone two straight matches without points the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's still been like putting in decent fantasy results, and they've largely been more goals than assists, which is surprising for him. But at 9, what is he at now? 9.7. That is high.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I mean, I'm not really worried about the Arsenal match. I mean, people with shorter memories than long will think of Tottenham as being very successful against Arsenal in years past. But is, I mean, West Brom can be tough defensively. Watford are actually just good now, but the defense is suspect. So I wouldn't be shifting off them because of matchup, but if you want to shift off them because of price, I wouldn't begrudge you it. But of the two, I'd rather hold on to Ali than hold on to Eriksen.
Yeah, I think the long-term, you know, future is better looking. Like you said, I think if you hit the nail right on the head when you said we've already experienced the first Eriksen peak in the first quarter of the season so far. Yes, there's going to be probably one, maybe another one, follow down the road. But it's a 38-week season. So we got to basically either sit on our hands and hope that, you know, the points, you know, stagnate and or come to a point and go back up again, or we can hope and pray that, you know, that Ali is, you know, going to pick up the slack in between.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things in FPL is when to pivot off a guy, especially when, you know, a guy such as Eriksen is such a talisman for fantasy points that he can get you, you know, the assists and the goals and the points, good return. But when is it time to punt off of him to an equally as good option on his own team? It's almost very similar to what's going on with City. You know, mm-hmm. It's, you know, when to jump off the ship and jump on another ship before it sinks, and then jump back off of it and jump onto another ship. It's tough because, you know, there are allegiances here, and, you know, there's history involved in this because Eriksen is a bona fide, you know, FPL point returner, and, you know, Ali, you know, does have the injury thing, but I don't think that's a bother.
Yeah, he should be fine.
And people maybe have soured on Ali because he didn't really give them the ample amount of returns that they expected coming into the year. You know, Dele Alli came into the season more owned than Eriksen. I think he started the season as the most owned midfielder in the FPL for the first week. So, I mean, that's a telling stat that people have jumped off of his bandwagon. And he's still owned in 20%. Granted, you know, how many of those are dead teams and that adds to the total.
22% are dead teams. Not of his ownership, but just total for those wondering.
22%. So basically 1 million players in this are dead teams. Yeah. But that doesn't add to the people making double teams and trying to monopolize and getting the high score and do that stuff, because that does happen. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you have Eriksen, you're probably going to stick with him unless you feel the emergency to jump off and grab somebody of equal or, you know, greater value. But there really isn't that many greater values, because if you look at the Eriksen point returns, 63 on the year, it's only 10 less than the highest most in the Premier League right now, which is Leroy Sané at 73. So, I mean, you're not really downgrading that much based on dollar price point is basically what you're missing out on.
Yeah, I thought your point that Eriksen will probably refine form again is a great one, because in past seasons, Eriksen has been in the eights in price. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the eights and you're having those hills and valleys, it's a lot easier to just ride through with them. But he's almost at 10 right now.
Yeah.
And I just think it's hard to carry him through that stretch. If he blanks against Arsenal, I would not have a problem with dropping him. I honestly wouldn't have a problem with you dropping him now if there's somebody else you wanted to target. Like, if you, for some reason, only had one City midfielder right now and wanted to bring Sané in, I think Eriksen to Sané is a perfectly acceptable thing to do.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if before the next game week kicks off with Arsenal on the slate and people are, you know, frantic for dollars to move around. You know, Arsenal isn't the best defensive team, and they're not the most offensive. You know, they basically fit into that middle road. They give up goals, they score goals. And I bet you people abandon a ship enough on Eriksen that his price goes down before the next game week.
Yeah. Definitely a good point. Also, since August, while we're talking about Tottenham, we'll talk about Harry Kane a little bit. Since August, every time Kane has blanked, he scored two goals the following match. So for those looking at Crystal Palace and thinking, oh man, Kane couldn't score against Crystal Palace, how's he going to score against Arsenal? I remind you of that statistic. Also, for those that are planning on taking the armband off him. But also, please remember Harry Kane's recent record against Arsenal, which I don't have in front of me, but as a Spurs fan can remember, is quite ridiculous. It seems like he scores in every London derby. So while we're saying, you know, you can waffle on Eriksen or Ali, I would very much disagree with shifting off of Harry Kane at this point.
Yeah, the funny thing about Harry Kane is he's got 7 blanks and 4 games with goals, and all 8 of his goals have been multiple goal affairs in 4 games.
Yeah, so week 3, he scored none. Week 4, he scored 2. Week 5, he scored none. Week 6, he scored 2. Week 8, he scored none. Week 9, he scored 2. He just scored none in week 11. So we're not saying one goal. We're saying two goals against Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities at all.
So. Yep, for sure. Okay. Do you have some price changes for us?
Oh, we got more questions. We could stick with
all the questions. Right, let's just keep going with questions then.
Because there's other news that is perfect in the fantasy world. I mean, it's real life, but the appointment of David Moyes in West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think fantasy-wise, is this going to have any effect on any West Ham player? And if so, which player are you singling out for West Ham to possibly be give you some kind of return in the future?
Cresswell.
Yeah. I think just because
of Van Aanholt at Sunderland. All of a sudden got better. I think the defense is what improves here. Listen, there are not many kind things I will say about David Moyes, but in theory, he knows how to set up a defense. And West Ham have been very much letting down people like Rob, who see the upside in their players, especially in a fantasy context, and then them not fulfilling that. Cresswell is still super high in crossing, although I think he missed that one start, so he may have dropped from... best in the league. Yeah. Over the last five, he's not even in it. But totally still up there. I think Cresswell, because they might pick up more clean sheets.
Maybe. I mean, they did lose, theoretically, their best stay-at-home defender in Jose Font.
Did they?
Yeah, he's out for 2 to 3 months.
Oof. Never mind. No, I don't like West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, there's... From my standpoint, they've basically been they're a disappointment because they've changed their gaffer here. So, yeah, it's a wait and see with West Ham for me. They have pieces that are intriguing. You know, the Lanzinis, the Cresswell, like you mentioned. Mikel Antonio is a god. I think he's my godchild fantasy wise. but yeah, it's a complete hold wait and see with David Moyes taking the helm there. West Ham's schedule upcoming, not fantastic, but I mean, they're at Watford this upcoming week after the international break. And I know it's not going to take 1 week to figure out what West Ham actually is. It's going to take multiple weeks to see what they do. But after Watford, they're home to Leicester, they're at Everton, and then they're at Man City. Welcome back to the Premier League, David Moyes. Those are not four easy fixtures for anybody. Watford is playing way above themselves right now, and they're way better than West Ham is talent-wise in fantasy and in real life. Leicester is no joke at home. Everton, you know, on the road, they're kind of in the weeds, you know, trying to figure out what they are. And at Man City, yeah, no thank you.
Yeah. Also, while I was just looking up the crossing stats and the creation stats, Gylfi Sigurdsson, a surprise entrant in the top 10 of both. So, If Everton bring in a manager that's halfway competent, from things I'm hearing, it still sounds like Dyche. External reports not seeming to indicate that, so not really sure which way that's going to go. But if it did end up being Dyche, he doesn't mind either 4-4-2-ing it or a 4-5-1 with lots of crossing. And since they continue to play Sigurdsson on the left wing, that could get interesting quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say Sigurdsson has moved to the wing more from a more central role there, so that's probably why his crossing stats are up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, speaking of Everton, we don't know who the gaffer is yet. Do you see yourself trusting any Everton player anytime soon?
No, yeah. No. They are not comfortable in their own skin yet, like form wise. You know how teams come into the season and they're completely gelled and everybody knows where they're playing. Then take Everton and they lose their manager and basically they lose their, you know, I'm not going to say their cornerstone or their keystone, but they lose the guy who basically led them to believe that this is the way we're going to play. So now they have to start over, reanalyze who's going to play what and where and how and why. And they're not there yet. I mean, there's pieces there that are intriguing enough. You know, Calvert-Lewin, fuck, still love him. defensively, Baines, you know, scored a PK. Yep. Be interesting to see if Baines stays on penalty kicks going forward, which gained him so much value 2 years ago when he basically, you know, scored what, 4 or 5 from the spot. Yeah, but there's nobody there that I'm like drastically trying to figure out how to get in my team. Listen, if you want to be a complete differential and go with an Everton player moving forward, by all means, go ahead, because there's tons of differentials there. I don't think any player there is ownable or owned more than 10% of actual live teams. I'm sure Wayne Rooney probably is one of the most owned guys there, but it's probably because everybody is dead and like, I want Wayne Rooney on my team, and then I'm going to quit.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely it's a tough one with Everton.
Yeah.
On the other side of that coin, Leicester brought in a new manager, a friendly face from last year, Claude Puel, who you may remember from being angry at him for not playing Tadic consistently, will be playing Mahrez consistently, and Mahrez has been doing quite well over the past few weeks. At 8-4, are you willing to buy in yet, or do you still want to see a little bit more before jumping in that pool?
Well, the funny thing is, if you're going to buy into a Leicester player, I mean, now is the time. Their schedule only gets a little harder. You know, the next coming weeks, you're not going to bring them into, I don't think, to face City this upcoming game
City
week.
City and Spurs, two of the next three.
Yeah, and they have Burnley after that. So, I mean, Burnley does like to put the defense on. So, I mean, three out of the next four are cautiously optimistic. You have West Ham, Newcastle mixed in there too.
Two goals, assists in the last four.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that Mahrez legitimately looks like a better fantasy asset. I think that because of his past reputations, he's priced himself out of a usable market is what's going on. At 8.4, he's hard to own because are you going to want a Leicester guy who will get you one goal or an assist every week, or are you going to invest that money and bring in the leading point total for midfielders, and that's Leroy Sané, which isn't that much of a price difference?
Yeah.
I know you're limited by how many City players you can have, but you know when it's apples to apples, midfielder to midfielder, it's not even a question. But Mahrez has been playing some very inspiring fantasy ball. You know, Jamie Vardy is lying in the weeds. He does just enough to warrant not kicking him off my roster. but yeah, I mean, the time to own Mahrez was that stretch, and now is the time to probably, you know, matriculate down to something else that is equally valued, somebody you have a speculation on, somebody in that, you know, 8.0 to 9.0 price range. And it's funny that with the return of Sadio Mane, I mean, what is a better pivot than that, going right to Sadio Mane at 9.3? I mean, I know it's a little more expensive, but, you know, with Mane returning – and Liverpool, you know, showing out. I know almost the whole world owns Mohamed Salah. And basically, I read something, but if the transfer rate continues for Mohamed Salah, he's going to be the most owned player in the official game by kickoff next week.
Interesting.
So that's interesting. He's going to take over Romelu Lukaku. But yeah, Sadio Mane return is interesting there. It adds to the conundrum, or it helps the conundrum because he makes everyone around him better. But yeah.
Interesting stuff. You mentioned Vardy there. Are you going to pivot off him before this rough stretch?
You know, I'm waiting to see what materializes from the international break. I like to read as much news as I possibly can from, you know, multiple sources, you know, whatever your source of information is in you know, jolly old England, you know, The Guardian or any of them newspapers that are actually very well, you know, written and they delve into stuff because they have guys who just cover the teams. Where we just broad base it and look at it from a ooh, do something good for me now, fantasy geeks. But yeah, I'm gonna wait because I want to see what this week of information has. There's a lot of people on my team that I'm worried about, and I think we basically talked about all of them right now. We've talked about David Silva, we talked about Christian Eriksen, and now we bring up Vardy. And there's a fourth one on my team that I want to bring up because of his ownership. He's owned in 90% of leagues, and he kind of falls into that Man City category where you hamstring yourself to which Man City players are ownable. And with the suspension of Nicolas Otamendi, Kev, and his ownership rate, 19%, which is basically 1 million players in this game, Price tag is $5 whatever you bought him in at. Are you waiting till the suspension is over? You know, basically kick him to the bench for 1 week, or are you comfortable replacing your basically 1A defender with a nice lateral movement to somebody that you can afford?
I just up front have yet to own a city defender, despite the fact that I've kind of been on them for weeks now. Different thing in the goal game, but we're not going to get into that now. I would probably move to Azpilicueta, and I think that's the obvious move for a lot of people. If people are still worried about the David Luiz thing after Conte's comments,
yeah,
I think Azpilicueta is the move there as well. Listen, Azpilicueta has 5 assists this season to Alvaro Morata, like directly. That is the most common occurrence of an assister to goal scorer in the Premier League this season. Not only that, Rob, you know, I've been saying this whole season, as soon as Chelsea started keeping clean sheets, Azpilicueta would become a must-own. And now it's 2 in a row. Like, this might be that time. Sure, they have Liverpool in a couple of weeks, but then they only will face 2 more top 10 attacks before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now, oh, and by the way, City haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 2 matches at the same time this has happened.
Yeah.
I feel like that shift is finally starting to happen. And I feel like the Otamendi suspension may be a blessing in disguise to get you shifted off them onto the Chelsea defense. Listen, this Manchester City defense is much better than we usually think of them having, much like the Saints this year, for anybody playing American fantasy football. But yeah, for me, I think now's the perfect time to shift over to Chelsea. And if you're shifting over to Chelsea, I don't know why you'd switch over to anyone other than Azpilicueta. Oh, unless Zappacosta's price is low.
Where it's not. It's 6.0.
Oh, no. Azpilicueta.
Well, Azpilicueta is very expensive. He's 6.7. The 3 most common transfers now, right now, in the FPL universe for Otamendi out are Phil Jones, Kieran Trippier, and John Stones. So they're all basically right around. I don't think people who own Otamendi have enough money to invest to get to Azpilicueta.
Fair enough. Don't switch to Trippier. Want to play the Tottenham wingback game this year. You just don't.
Yeah, I'm just reading the
I got you. Stones is an interesting one because he keeps scoring goals in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're just hoping that at some point that'll cross over. Phil Jones, I feel like you already missed the bus there, although I assume he's still the cheapest option in that defense.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Let me just check. Well, I mean, unless you count Ashley Young.
Oh, snap. What's
but
he?
He's not. But he's a midfielder.
He's still listed as midfielder.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you mentioned how expensive Azpilicueta is. Here's a kind of cross-positional either-or. Oh, we could do either-ors here. cross-positional either-or. Would you rather have Azpilicueta or Richarlison?
Oof.
Because they're similarly priced.
Yeah, it depends on what you have set up through the midfield, where Richarlison would fit in. If you're bringing in Azpilicueta, he's basically your 1-2 or third defender that you're starting every week, regardless of opponent, because of his returns. Richarlison for me is based on his price. If you own a Salah, an Eriksen, or we'll just throw somebody else in there, David Silva or Raheem Sterling. You know, and then Richarlison is your fourth guy, you know, based on opponent, is it not a better gamble to maybe go with your fourth defender based on matchup or your third striker? Or it all depends on your roster structure for Richarlison. I think he's basically for the next 2 weeks until Deeney gets back is a must start. I think he's more likely to be a boon to Watford, where Deeney takes some of the touches off his feet, touches off his head. Especially inside the box, but I love what Azpilicueta is doing. You know, he's very Spanish oriented. He only kicks it to Spanish guys' heads. They're both to back that up. I think both Richarlison and Cesar Azpilicueta moving forward are pretty much staple items. If you look at your defense, I think you need an Azpilicueta. I think for based on his price, I think Richarlison and Pascal Gross. And, you know, if you're still believing in like a Matt Ritchie or somebody like that in that price range are a staple item. You need a midfielder in that, you know, 5.7 to 6.4 price range to levy out the masses there with the prices of the Liverpool, Spurs, Man City, and, you know, if you're buying into Alexis Sanchez or Eden Hazard, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, because we told you weeks ago, don't do it. But if you're in that, you know, if you're in that neck of the nape, then definitely you're definitely doing it. But for my money right now, Cesar Azpilicueta, and I think I said this a month ago, I thought that Cesar Azpilicueta was probably one of the best fantasy defenders based regardless of price, and he's better than Alonso. He's better, tons better than Alonso, especially this year, giving point returns. But yeah, Azpilicueta is a staple. Richarlison is probably a staple because I love out of position guys, and I love the out of position either or, because it makes total sense, because I want to. It's how you build your team that each part is more important. If you need a defender like Azpilicueta, cement your back line, but his price tag is kind of heavy. No, people don't like to invest, you know, or cement all their money into a defender, because they like to, you know, look at all the shiny parts up top, and then that's where Richarlison fits in. So it's all about lineup structure. It always has been. It always will be. Week 1 through week 38, everybody builds their team differently how they like.
Yeah. Because I just did an either or, may as well just keep rolling with them. Sadio Mane was a surprise full starter at the weekend. We thought he was going to get about 30 minutes, and we thought that because Jurgen Klopp said that. But now he is fully back. Would you rather have Sadio Mane at 9-3 or Salah at 9-4?
Easily Mohamed Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. I think that Mane, what we know from Mane is great and fantastic, but it almost feels like we're waiting for him to break down again. Every time I read anything about him and speculation about fantasy outputs and what people expect from him, there's always like that ... Why wouldn't you just go Mohamed Salah instead? So based on what Salah is doing, what we just saw last weekend, Salah is not going to slow down. I don't think he is. And Sadio Mane is only going to add to what Mo Salah is. And from that standpoint, I'd rather own Salah.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very fair point. If you could pick either of them, or Eriksen or Ali, so either of the two Liverpool guys versus either of the two Tottenham guys, I assume you're going Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Salah, only because I think that what Liverpool does and has done and what consistency has done. Listen, Mo Salah is basically giving you the returns that we thought Dele Alli was going to do this year.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to buy the guy that's doing it right now rather than with the guy I think may do it.
Yeah,
and Dele Alli.
Salah right now, top five in shot accuracy, which is always nice, especially from a winger. Also, I've been starting to get into this new stat, touches in the box. Salah also in the top five of there. The other names joining him, Son and Sterling, unsurprisingly. Richarlison actually leads the statistic with 49 touches inside the box. And newly minted striker, Wilfried Zaha for Crystal Palace. And speaking of Crystal Palace, actually, Johan Kabay now has the most accurate crosses over the last five matches. Wow. I don't like Hodgson. I don't know if they're going to stay up or not. But statistically, things are starting to look a little better for Palace. I'm not saying by any means yet, but just kind of keep an eye on that. Then we already mentioned Azpilicueta. If you had neither, would you rather purchase Azpilicueta or Valencia at Manchester United?
Azpilicueta. Yep. This is a perfect example of when Chelsea start getting a clean sheet. And the funny thing is, there's actually so much commotion right now in the back end for Chelsea with the David Luiz news that, you know, basically he has no future here. And it brings up the Christensen price tag at 5.4. He's now the cheap entry point into that, you know, Chelsea defense, which has a decent stretch of games here, like Kevin mentioned. You know, two top 10 defenses until Christmas. That's some telling stats. This is where Chelsea make their bread and butter, is on defense. Yes, they have shiny parts that score goals, you know, in previous years, Diego Costa, Eden Hazard, you know, Pedro. Now they have Morata. But listen, Chelsea is a very good defensive team. Look at the names on their roster.
Conte's back.
Yeah, and Conte is back. They are a completely different team. I've said this since he left. I'm like, Chelsea's going to struggle with him gone. Did I not say this to you like three or four times in every game we've watched? But it's with Conte back, it's basically, you know, like a revolution for their defense. And now that I think that Luiz is probably on his way out, and now that Christensen's pretty much cemented his place there, I think that they're going to be more of a cohesive unit without the turmoil of basically shifting parts in and out. I think David Luiz is going to play, but just not in Premier League games. He'll probably be cup, in the cup games and maybe see some Champions League play because he does have that field generalship that a lot of Champions League games require. But, I'm glad that Chelsea is finally settling in on their core defenders. This was their problem last year. It took a shellacking for them to figure out what they were as defensively, and it took a roster, a form change on the pitch for them to be who they are now. So now they're sticking with that. But, things are looking better defensively for Chelsea right now than Manchester United, I think. But basically, Valencia is not a bad defender either. But to have a 1A defender, like I like to say, like he's basically your first choice. He's going to start every week, regardless of opponent. I'd go with Azpilicueta only because of the assists.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. There are obviously no start sits for us this week because there's no matches at the weekend here. But do you have any moves you're particularly eyeing right now?
Basically, just everybody I mentioned on my team right now that we've mentioned on the podcast that's struggling or in turmoil or suspended. I do own Otamendi, I own David Silva, I own Eriksen, I own Vardy. Yeah. There's some guys that there's some matchups this week, fixtures that I like, and I think that I can monopolize and take advantage of. I like Burnley's fixture. It brings up a good point. Is now the time to go? Heavy invested into Burnley defenders. With Steven Ward being basically universally owned now.
Is the one getting all the bonus points. It's nonsense.
Me and Loughton is getting bonus points, and our Heavenly Father in goal. Would you be opposed, Kev, if you had a wild card right now to having Pope and two Burnley defenders on your team?
Yeah, I'd be fine with Pope and one defender. I think two's a bit much. I actually had to face this choice. I didn't really have a move I wanted to make last week, but I still had Kieran Clark in, who then stopped starting, and then now with Lascelles out may start again. But that's a whole different thing. But I was looking through a whole lot of 4 or 5 defenders. And I don't want to freak people out too much because I've been very anti them historically. But I actually brought in Alberto Moreno.
Wow.
Should I know better? Yeah, obviously. But Liverpool's defensive metrics actually getting better, a large part of that probably because Lovren wasn't starting. But they also have a pretty nice run aside from the Chelsea match. And at 4-5, I thought it was an interesting punt. Also, having watched him in the Champions League, he has been racking up assists in the Champions League, and he's only 3.6%. He's 4-5. Anyway, I let my numbers self talk me into it instead of the football self, to be honest.
Yeah.
But when I had the option to bring in another 4-5, I did look at me. I already own Ward, but I was too gun shy on doubling up on Burnley, especially with, kind of circling chance that Dyche leaves. I don't know what a post Dyche Burnley looks like. So for now, if I had Pope in a defender already, I'm fine staying with it. If I only had Pope, you should probably bring in a defender. Ward, if you're looking for potential attacking output. Me, if you're looking for just bonus point lottery points, which he tends to get. But yeah, for now, I'd probably stick with just two.
Yeah. Yeah, so getting back to my team, I have two free transfers. I banked my free transfer from the last week. So I have two transfers to go into this week with. I'm fine taking a third if it involves getting, all the useful pieces that I need into my team. There's some pieces I need to move around, but I'm doing fairly well. I'm in the top 25,000 right now. So I'm sitting at 651 points overall, I believe, which is pretty good.
Mm, yeah.
It's as Larry David would say, it's pretty good.
Yep, not bad at all. For me, I'm kind of looking at a double swap of Silva down to Richarlison and then Vardy up to Aguero, who recovered very quickly from his injury, has started when he's been healthy. And, most dangerous attack in the league right now by a pretty significant margin. Currently 15 more goals than Manchester United, who are in second place.
Wow.
So, yeah, this City stuff. I mean, we had somebody on the show on the weekend that said this is the most dangerous Premier League team he can ever remember. And it's hard to argue. Like, I'm sure you could name teams where you're like, oh, yeah, that's a good shout. But it would take a stronger man than me to say definitely not. Because they have just been devastating. And the crazy thing is they didn't even play that well last weekend. and still managed to just run away from Arsenal. So, yeah, it's frightening times in the Premier League, but I think Aguero up top is a solid shout.
They had a 2-goal lead, then Arsenal scored, and they seemed like it was like almost their mission immediately to get a back to a 2-goal lead.
Right, after it looked like they just like stopped. They're like, eh, it's fine.
It's amazing that they could just basically do this at will. Yeah. You know, it pains us both because we're not, you know, Kevin being a Spurs supporter and I'm a Chelsea supporter. You know, we're basically saying, you know, that Man City is going to – I'm not saying they're going to run away with the league, but right now, you know, 11 weeks into it, they look like they're like a freight train. I don't see them losing anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
Also, 8 points, the biggest point differential at this point in the season ever, and it's against United, which makes it all the sweeter, as Richard, our city representative, mentioned on the show on Sunday. All right, so those are the changes I'm thinking about making. Those are the changes Rob is thinking about making. We will, of course, be back next week when matches are back. In the interim, be sure to just keep an eye on your international players. Make sure they come through fit as a fiddle. Sometimes the FPL site is pretty good about updating. Sometimes they're not. So just kind of keep an eye on your 11 players if they are doing internationals. And remember that some of these do matter. While everybody keeps referring it to as international friendlies, you still have teams like Northern Ireland and I think Denmark, Italy, Sweden. All those all those countries are playing matches that really matter. So if you were thinking everybody was going to get rested, like half the England team not showing up for their international break, think otherwise. But yeah, so keep an eye on that. Rob, thanks again for making time today to do the show. Sorry to you guys for missing you last week, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.